Welcome back to the Lawn Hustle. I am your host, Andy Wilson. I own and operate professional lawn maintenance in Newcastle, Indiana. We're doing a series of podcasts on Meet the Pros. And tonight we have Naylor Taliaferro, the lawn care rookie, with us. We're excited that he is on the show. He has 6,406 followers on Instagram, 13,400 followers on YouTube. He is the host of the LCR Media Podcast. I am a frequent listener, and I encourage all of my listeners to search for the LCR Media Podcast and subscribe and hit the notification button so you don't miss an episode. Naylor, thank you for joining the Lawn Hustle.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it for sure. Thank you. I know we all have busy schedules. Those of you listening, that you and I'm talking, we have busy schedules. So I'm glad we can work it out. It's always a challenge, but that's part of life, right? And part of creating content is overcoming these challenges and sharing them with our content.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate your time, and I will try to be mindful of your time. I know it's the holiday week and your son's home from college, so you probably want to spend as much time with your family as possible. So let's jump right in.
All right.
I know you were in retail management early on in your career, but what inspired you to get into the green industry?
So ultimately, I was in retail management like so many have heard so many times, but I really just was getting burned out. I never really assumed that I was going to be in retail my whole life. I mean, it was something that I did part time, like while I was in college, and quickly I was identified as a leader and, you know, started working for having like some supervisory, like went from a cashier to like a lead cashier, you know, just real entry level stuff while I was still in college. And then I decided to take a year off. Like I went to a 2-year community college. So I finished that. And then instead of transferring to a 4-year college to finish my bachelor's, which was the plan, I decided to take a year off in between so that I could save up money, because my goal at the time was I just wanted to get my own car. Like I wanted to get like my own vehicle. Like those were like, you know, college goals, right? Like that was the only thing in my mind. I'm you know, still living at home and everything, so my expenses are really low, but I wanted to be able to afford, you know, my own car and my own insurance and register, you know, all this stuff, and just start like being an adult. And so that was my whole goal. So I just went full time, and then that also helped propel me to get into a supervisory role. I was a full time lead cashier and supervisory and all that. So I just kind of, I did go back to college, by the way. Everyone kept saying, oh, don't do that. You take time off, you're never going to go back. So I proved people wrong by going back to college, which was challenging because I was a supervisor doing all that. But at any rate, that was kind of like, that I just followed that path without any real goals. Like I didn't really know I never saw myself being in retail forever, but I didn't know what the other answer was. Like I was going to college for art, which most people don't know that, except for the few people that heard me say that sporadically, but I majored in fine arts. So I'm a creative minded person, which probably makes sense from a content creator standpoint. But I didn't know what I would do with that. It was just the only thing that I just was naturally really good at, other than leadership, which that didn't really go hand in hand at that time. I was doing leadership, you know, in retail management, and there was really no creativity that was coming from that. But when I was in college, I'm like, what am I going to do with art? Like, I have no idea where I'm going to go from here. You know, like what kind of career, what kind of life? So I just kind of stuck with retail. And then I met my wife, and we got, you know, my girlfriend, then we got married and have kids and, you know, the whole family thing. And my life was going this way and retail was going the complete opposite way. And the whole world was, honestly, with Amazon and online commerce and, you know, the brick and mortar, as we call it, the physical locations were very difficult to keep up with that kind of online demand. So then they started implementing all that, which put more burden on the store personnel and managers having to do all. And so it just became an extremely stressful environment for me. The hours were never good, but when I was a single guy, it didn't really matter that much. You know, like I was living my best life at that moment. You know, like I didn't know what the future was, but at that moment, like I was like the best of the best. You know, like I knew all the policies. I knew all. I was a great at customer service, great at training everyone, great, you know, perfectionist. You know, with cleaning up the store and merchandising and making everything look amazing. And like I was like the best specimen for retail management until I wasn't single anymore and I had other priorities and I was trying to figure out what my life was going to be. That's when it really started to get crazy because I was no longer able to focus all of my energy on management and the crazy fast pace, crazy schedule, working all almost every weekend, you know, life like that. I couldn't do both of those at that point. So, you know, I really didn't know what to do. I just ended up going to different companies thinking that maybe it was the company, but ultimately it was retail. You know, it was the actual industry. But, you know, being a homeowner, I also got my green thumb with lawn care. I really enjoyed lawns and grass and turf, and I really kind of mastered all that as a homeowner and kind of became that guy in the neighborhood that had like the best lawn in the neighborhood. And all the housewives are asking my wife for tips to give their husband. I'm like, oh, that's going to go over well at those, you know, adult at the, you know, get-togethers and stuff when the, you know, all the other husbands are like, oh, that's the guy, you know, the lawn or whatever. But, you know, it is what it is. I just really enjoyed it, and my lawn was really good. And, you know, I won't. Finally, I got so burned out and so stressed out and so literally like depressed with how my life was going because I was just working all the time. I was tired. You know, I was exhausted. I was sick all the time. It completely just sucked my life away, and I was like missing out on my other life, like my actual life, what I cared about the most. Like I was working to support my life, but it was taking me away from my life. Like I was making all this money. I was making good money to support my family and have a house and all that, but I had no life. Like my life was only work. And it just really drained me to the point where I cracked and things just started falling apart. You know, my marriage was falling apart. I had no relationship with my kids, which were really, they were really young at the time. So that was fortunate. It's not like they have any real memories of any of that. But still, I was, you know, I have all those memories, you know, and it's just like it was terrible. So I just went all into lawn care because it was the only thing I could think of at the time, you know, like and it seemed like it was becoming a trend. This was 10 years ago that I made this decision. Well, actually, it's 11 years ago now. It's November. So it's almost 11 years. Like it was December when I put in my 2 weeks notice in retail. And I left and I went all in the whole winter trying to figure out how to go from a homeowner to a professional, you know, lawn care provider. And what does that look like? And Googling stuff. And it like I was starting to say, it was becoming like a little bit of a trend where there was guys out there in a truck and a trailer mowing lawns. It wasn't like you had to have this big, huge landscaping company like it once used to be. You know, it was becoming more and more of a specialized service, and anyone could kind of do just the mowing part. And then there was all the other facets above and beyond that. But I'm like, I think I can do this. So that gave me some hope too. And a lot of different little things here and there all kind of fell in place and happened, you know, for a reason to get me in to get me where I am now. But you know, I just went all in. I had nothing else, like nothing else to fall back on. You know, like I had to get out of retail. I was broken and I needed to fix myself and I needed to repair my relationships with my wife and my kids and get my life back. So for the last 10 years, that's what I've been doing, growing my business. You know, like I haven't looked back. It's been amazing. You know, I mean, I look back when it's like, oh, this is that time of year again. Like the holidays were always the worst time for me. Now they're my favorite time because it's the slowest time for us, unless we're doing Christmas lights and whatnot, which I don't do, but I know a lot of other folks have been jumping on that. But I do my own Christmas lights at my own house and that's it. So like I really thoroughly enjoy the holiday. Like it sucked all the retail sucked all the life and energy out of and happiness out of the holidays for me because I was never with my family. And I was stuck dealing with all the nasty people that were just trying to get all the stuff and they're all stressed out with the holiday shopping. And you know, I when in retail management, you're stuck dealing with the brunt of all that. So it really takes a special person. I mean, someone has to do it. I get it. We have to buy our stuff from somewhere, maybe not as many places, but you know, someone's got to be able to manage the stores. But it's definitely difficult. All the managers I worked with in my entire 15-year career were all divorced or single. Like the only other people that had a family or a spouse like me were struggling just like me, you know, like, and they were probably on the verge of getting a divorce if they didn't change careers or something one day. Like it's just a tough environment. And especially when it comes to the holidays and you're missing on every single thing and you're not seeing anyone, you're just working all the time. I remember real quick, many, many years, like halfway in between that 15-year stint, one of the companies I worked at, I was at some big manager meeting, and like the CEO said something that stuck with me and probably planted a seed in my head back then that like just kind of was like the beginning of the end for me. You know, it took many, many years, but he said, you know, we're a special kind of breed, right? We love what we do. We love this job, right? We have to, because we work when no one else does. So we have to love it. And I'm just like, wow. Yeah. We work when everyone else doesn't. That's terrible. All the times that no one else is working, it's because it's holidays. And I want to spend those holidays, but I'm stuck working. So I'm thinking to myself, I really don't think I do love it, because I don't love missing out on all that stuff. Like there's probably, again, a whole bunch of single people that just didn't care, you know, and that's fine. I was that once, but you know, my family became my priority. Quality of life became my priority. And lawn care was the answer for me. And I've just been, you know, going strong ever since.
That's awesome. Let me ask you this. Obviously, you're an influencer and you have influenced and impacted hundreds, if not thousands, of lives across the United States and even around the world. What keeps you so passionate about what you do?
Well, it's a couple parts that I stumbled upon this community 10 years ago when there was only a handful of people creating content. Some of them don't even create content anymore, or at least not in the capacity that they used to, like not for our industry or our community. But you know, I was just researching how to have a lawn care business. You know, I'm like, you know, Googling like how much to charge, how to prune, what's a crepe myrtle, how do I prune it, like, you know, like just all these different like services and how to price it and just software. And I was just trying to figure out some key things, you know, when I first started. And a lot of those searches led to videos, right? YouTube videos and then things. And some of them were people like Spencer Lawn Care was one of the first ones that I stumbled upon. And he's still going strong. He took a little break, but you know, he's been back at it for many years. And he was one of the first ones that I stumbled upon. And I was like, it was like, I was learning from him. Like, you know, like I was just starting my business. He was already maybe a couple years in and was sharing stuff that, you know, that I was like, wow, okay, that's a good idea. Okay. You know, just getting ideas and stuff. And there's a few other people. There's the Lawn Care Millionaire, right? A lot of us re-know him now because he's kind of reintroduced himself. And I think I've helped be a part of that with all the different events that he's been at for me and with me. The Lawn Care Millionaire, Jonathan Potoshnik, he was literally the OG. He was making videos like in, I think, 2013 or 2012 or something, when probably nobody was really from our community was watching it. It was just like business owners that were stumbling upon whatever, and they were looking for Service Autopilot or looking at that or looking for a CRM or whatever. But all of his videos were super informative. So I was binge watching all of his videos and a few other people. And I saw this community starting up, you know, the same people were commenting and everything and on everyone's videos. So I was participating in that. But I'm like, you know, I want to actually make content, because I feel like I want to be more than just a viewer, you know, or a watcher. I want to create content along with the community and be a part of it in a more, I guess maybe that's my leadership, you know, skills or ability or qualities that just naturally I was like, I just want to do more than just be a viewer. And plus, these guys aren't talking about, they're all like ahead of me, you know, like the Lawn Care Millionaire is ahead of all of us. Spencer's a few years ahead of me, you know, like I'm like, where there's no one putting content out about being brand new, being a rookie, you know, like that's why I started my channel called Lawn Care Rookie. So I just converted my little YouTube profile that allowed me to like and subscribe and comment on people's videos. And I just started turning it into, you know, put like a little banner up and thing, and just made my, I don't even know what my username was at the time, probably just my name, but then I've changed it to Lawn Care Rookie and created like an actual YouTube profile so I could start making content. And through all of that, through that process, through all the years, so all the 10 years, because I literally did that towards the end of my first year. So for 10 years, I've been creating content. And through that, I met Spencer Lawn Care and everyone, Jonathan, everyone that I watched back then and now. I've met them all, or will, or most of them. And we work together, we've collaborated on content. I've created events, I've hosted events, I've helped co-host other events. And it's the community has grown tremendously through that process. And the first event that I ever went to, I was approached by two people separately, and they thanked me. This was like after only being in the in business and in the community for a couple of years and creating content for only a couple of years. And they both came up to me separately and thanked me, shook my hand. They were a little emotional, and they said, they thanked me for the content that I was sharing. It really helped them get through their tough times or get out of corporate America themselves. And I quickly started, like, it was different. There's people commenting and liking and subscribing, but when you meet them in person, it's a whole nother level, because you can really see how you are impacting people's lives or businesses or anything. And I'm not trying to exaggerate or anything, but the impact at some level that you have on another human being. And I think anyone that has that experience feels the same way. They're like, oh my gosh, like it's just to really, really bring this, tie this in, because this all came, I talked a lot about this on Paul Jamieson's podcast when we were at Equip this past October, month ago. But like, I've come to a new place in my life and business and understanding and level of awareness that we are all here on this earth to serve others, to serve each other. So that's why we get so much energy when we do that. So when we are do whatever it is that we do, we open a door for someone and they thank us. Or I mean, like from the minor thing to the big things, or people are have tears in their eyes and they say that you changed their life. Everything in between, it gives us a feeling of purpose, a feeling of satisfaction, a feeling of goodness. Like, wow, that's amazing. That's it kind of something comes over us. Like, it, no one can not feel that way, because we are all designed, to serve others. So having that experience time and time again, I mean, that one moment, I was like, wow, this is like, I'm always going to this event every year. I'm going to keep making content. And, over the years, we all start to get burned out. We run out of ideas for content potentially. Our lives get busy. Some people, peace out and stop making content, or just pivot out of the industry or whatever. So there's people are, we're all doing different things. But every time I go to an event, I get re-energized again. Whatever event that is, my event, Equip, whatever, all the above. I'm always meeting new faces and old faces and reconnecting and connecting new, and all of that energy keeps me going. It gets me fired back up again, reminds me of the purpose that we all have to serve others. And it just keeps me motivated all the time. And of course, there's all these in between messages and interactions that aren't even from live events, that keeps me motivated. I just know now after 10 years that I do make an impact on people in some way. So I don't want to just stop, because it's my purpose. Part of my purpose as a human being on this earth to serve other human beings. So that gives me life energy. It gives everyone life energy when they stumble upon that or intentionally do that. So that's why I keep doing it. And I keep trying to get to the next level. And I've just kind of unlocked another level. And that's probably why Paul was saying what he said to you. I've known Paul for a long time, and he's kind of seen the whole spectrum there. But I'm just obsessed. I'm obsessed with serving others to make a difference, and it's what I'm really focused on at a higher level now.
Well, I want to say I appreciate your content, and I know of no one that is doing more for our industry than Naylor and the LCR Media. I appreciate all that you do. I listen to your podcast. I watch your content, and it has made an impact on me It's made me a better business owner and a better husband, a better father. So don't ever get discouraged, because what you are doing is influencing hundreds, if not thousands, of individuals and businesses. And I told Paul when I was interviewing him, when the hurricane came through Florida and Sarasota was the target, that night I prayed for him because he didn't evacuate because of a lack of gasoline. But I prayed for his safety. I prayed that God would put a hedge of protection around him, because our industry needs his voice. And I can say, I have prayed for you, because our industry needs your voice. It needs your leadership, because you have the ability to take all of us to a higher height. And just don't ever get discouraged and don't ever give up, because you are doing amazing work and I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that as well. I never take that for granted. So thank you for your kind words.
Well, I have had something on my mind and heart for a while, wanting to start a green industry prayer group. And so I started a Facebook page, the Green Industry Prayer Group, because I think that we all need at times the strength and support of others that are in the faith, even those that are not in the faith. But there's times when I need someone to pray for me. I need someone to encourage me. And if they can go to a Facebook page and leave a little prayer request or share a victory report with us, it would benefit all of us in the green industry just to know that there's a group of men and women that are going to the Lord in prayer for my need. It gives so much strength. And so I've started that recently, and I'm going to try to build on that to help be an influence in our industry. Let me ask you this.
I think that's a great idea, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And if you want to search on the Facebook, it's the Green Industry Prayer Group. And I just started the page yesterday, so I'm going to start promoting it on my social media platforms. And awesome. I'm probably going to do a whole podcast on it.
But awesome.
Thank you. How have you seen the industry change in the last 10 to 11 years that you've been doing it?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the future of our industry is the younger generations. And I saw that, like, when I first started creating content, 10 years ago, there was a lot of kids, you know, like 13, 14, 15 year olds, like below driver's license age, that were, you know, watching all of our content at the time, which there wasn't as much as there is now. There was no real podcasting 10 years ago. Not like there is now. It was basically just YouTube and Facebook. You know, I think Instagram was popping off a little bit, but I mean, there's no Snapchat, there's no TikTok, there's no, none of that kind of stuff. So it was mainly YouTube, and a lot of people were following a few of us at the time on YouTube. And there was a lot of younger kids, like I was saying, and they would literally learn from us, and they would implement that however they could in their business. Like, you know, they were all about route density. They literally would just, you know, they would have like a tractor mower or zero turn. They'd have like a, you know, the little hitch in the back, and they'd have like a wagon hooked up to it, and they put their blower and their trimmer in there, rake shovels if they need it. And they would just drive up and down the neighborhoods and just bang out a whole bunch, you know, however many yards. Some of them had their parents drive them around and drop them off, you know, a little push mower or whatever. Like, they were just getting after it. And then, like, a couple years into this, so maybe like 8 years ago, we were going to Equip at the time. It was called GIE Plus Expo. And when we first went there, it was like this old fuddy-duddy trade show where it was, you know, like just, you know, It was cool to all of us, like the small amount of us, you know, maybe like 20 of us that went there at the time. We were like, this is amazing, because you know we heard about it, and we thought it was amazing because it's this, you know, this huge show, which it's only gotten bigger, but at the time it was still huge, and it had indoor, outdoor, so you could demo stuff outside, you can check out all the showroom stuff inside like a normal trade show, but there's just more of it, and you know, so it was just a really cool environment in that sense, and then we could all kind of meet each other for the first time and hang out and get together and things like that too. And we're vlogging and everything with our cameras, and everyone's looking at us like we're weirdos, because that just wasn't the thing back then. You know, like 8, 9 years ago, it wasn't really, it still wasn't a thing. So a year or so after that is when all of a sudden things started to shift, because now all of these younger kids that were watching us were bringing their dads, like asking their dads to bring them to GIE, now Equip, because obviously they couldn't go themselves, to meet us and to demo equipment and to experience the same thing that we were experiencing for themselves personally as well as for their business. So that started a shift, because then, you know, they all had cameras. So it was kind of like this whole wave that went over, like, you know, like the world, social media got more popular. A lot of us were bringing it into our industry and growing our community at that time, and then that was kind of changing the GAE at the same time, the biggest trade show in our industry. So because of that, you saw this huge shift in the future of our industry. Is not the old fuddy-duddies that are like, you know, like nothing wrong with being old. What I just mean is like that there's a lot of elder landscapers that started the industry that were like, I don't, who cares about Facebook out, YouTube out, you know, like they're just kind of like grumpy old men. Like they just didn't see the benefits of the future. They you know, they know what they know, and that's it. You know, they built the industry on their backs, and we're all super grateful, but you know, we don't want to die like dinosaurs. We want to evolve and keep moving forward. So the younger generations come in full of all new knowledge of social media. That's all they know is social media and how to connect digitally online. And they're looking up to us because we're already out there getting after it with our businesses and doing stuff online. And some of us are really good at editing and all that, you know. So we all kind of have our things, you know. Some of us are good storytellers, good editors, all the above, whatever. And you know, all of a sudden it becomes this whole big thing, this whole big collaborative effort. And the younger generation just keeps coming and coming and coming. So they're just, you know, I'm just constantly meeting younger folks that are still coming into this industry because they're stumbling upon it, you know, through social media, and they're looking up to everyone that's doing it, and then they want to do it. And it's shortening the learning curve, because they're not doing the chuck in the truck stuff as much. They're just right out the gate. They know to get logos and be branded and have good clean setups. Doesn't have to be brand new, but has to be in good shape, and you know, that all this stuff. So like it's elevating the industry. So like just that shift of social media attracting the younger generation, and all of and those of us content creators that were able to, the early adopters that were able to connect that way and bring that into our industry, that helped shift like the whole change from the inside out, like pushing the old out from the inside, right? Our community is our own little bubble, getting bigger and bigger inside the green industry, and kind of pushing out all the outliers off on the outer fringe as people are retiring and they're moving on from the industry and all that, leaving it to their younger. I literally met, you know, someone at my event, the LCR Summit, last month in Equip. And he was telling me this whole story about, you know, he runs his family business with his dad. His dad ran it one way forever, and then when his son took it over, or was, I guess, old enough, I don't know if he took it over, but he was old enough to be like a partner where he could, you know, actually do stuff. And he's like, Dad, we got to make some changes. Like, you know, so he just implemented all these new stuff that everyone else was already doing, and the business blew up. You know, because of all these, just, and it wasn't anything complicated. It's like raising our prices, right? If you've got millions of dollars in revenue and you just raise your prices by 5%, you've just like that's a huge, without even taking on new work, you just
Right.
completely increased your revenue like massive amounts. You know what I mean? So many little needle movers like that that people just get, they kind of don't realize that they get stuck in their ways or whatever. But so it's just a whole culmination of like new technology, social media, the younger generation, which is the future of our industry, and we've all been growing the industry that way from the inside out through content and everything. And of course, there's new tech with battery technology and all that, but I think the real story is the younger generations that have been growing up in the new world, you know, of the internet, you know, digital marketing, social media, content creation, to grow their business and to connect with other business owners so they can shorten the learning curve and grow faster. And that has been really changing the image and improving the image of our industry from the old black and mild, you know, hanging out your mouth with your beat up shirt and your pants and your rusted out truck with your, you know, smoke billowing out of your mower, chucking the truck, unfortunately, which was like everyone's perception, you know, the real world perceived the landscapers as like not like anything special. But now we're really changing things. I mean, you got SB Mowing out there, Spencer with SB Mowing, he's out there crushing it. Now he's completely changing the image. He's out there like he's showing millions of people every week, hey, look, I'm a nice, clean cut, young lawn care guy, professional, and I'm out here cleaning up these overgrown properties. Yes, he's making money. Yes, YouTube is, you know, that's a whole thing, but he's also giving a better image to landscapers and lawn care providers. People see that now as the image, like, oh wow, that's cool. Oh yeah. Now if he had a black and mild hanging out of his mouth and he's doing all of a sudden and he's, you know, all bumbling and grumbling, that'd be a different image, and that would just kind of more solidify the stigmas and the stereotypes that people already give to our industry. So I, 10 years ago, I'm like, I'm not going to be like that. Like, I'm already like, I came from corporate America. I'm a clean cut guy to begin with. So I'm going to bring that professionalism to my business. I mean, of course, I still have dirty hoodies and things like that because we're out there working. But at the end of the day, I'm branded, I'm logoed, I'm clean, I'm professional. I replace stuff when I need to. Like, I'm, you know, I'm not cursing all the time or at all, like in front of people. Like, you know, I'm not, keep it professional. Same thing with anyone that works with me. Like, I've always had that mentality. And I think the younger generations just all automatically had that mentality. So it's just really elevating our industry in all those ways so that we can have a better perception and we can all make more money and grow and all that. So our industry is booming. I did some stats a while back. I don't remember the specifics. It was in one of my episodes with Jonathan and Paul when we were at the Lawn Care Millionaire's house. And I was pulling out all these stats and we were talking about it, but the landscaping industry is growing. It's like slated to grow like another however many point something, 1 point or 2 point something million, you know, dollars or whatever, or whatever it is, you know, like it's slated to grow, you know, a lot more money in the next couple of years, and people are just constantly, you know, getting in our industry. So it's a growing industry for sure.
That is so good. I appreciate all of that information. A couple of years ago, I hired a guy. I show up to pick him up for work, and he comes out with a pair of black shorts on and some big smiley face dots all over his shorts with one of my shirts on. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to work. I said, not dressed like that. You are. You know, you get in the house and put some pants on, tuck your shirt in, look presentable. He said, why? I said, because I'm trying to build an image. I'm trying to portray myself as a professional. And if somebody sees you tagging along with me and you're dressed like that and I'm dressed the way I am, that's destroying my image instead of building my image. So that professionalism, it makes all the difference in the world. You're exactly right. How does Naylor define success, and has his definition evolved over the years?
That's a good question. For me, I look at success as it's a moving target. It's you know, we all have different goals and priorities, and I think a lot of people, myself included, want to have like a sense of purpose. I know a lot of men talk about that, like, you know, a man's purpose and, you know, all that. Obviously women have similar feelings, but I think finding your purpose, you know, and how well you do that and what that purpose is, that's a measure of success. I think for me personally, like over the last 10 years, my measure of success is, can I rebuild my life? Can I have a quality of life, improve my relationships that matter to me the most in my life that got, damaged? And nothing's perfect, or nothing has been, like you can't just erase all that stuff. It's like when you break a glass and you glue it back together, it might be whole again, but there's always going to be those cracks. Like it's never going to be the same. It's always going to look different. And so you can't, and it's not going to be as strong as the solid piece of glass, but at least you fix it, you put it back together, and you're going to be a little more delicate with it. And you're not going to mishandle it. You're not going to take it for granted. You're going to make sure you're a little extra cautious now with that glass that had broken already. So, I just want to make sure that I'm doing all the right things to continue to have those strong relationships, to keep that glass as strong as possible and all together, and enjoy the content inside that glass. Just keep filling that glass up with all of the things that give me joy and happiness and a sense of purpose, like serving others, spending quality time with my family, doing some things that I want to do, like mountain bike riding or whatever, just to relax and have some fun by myself or with my son, or going to the gym, with my son or my family, like all those things. Like that, to me, that's what life is all about. Of course, there's financial things, right? You want to be able to have money to pay your bills and things like that, and beyond, right? You don't want to necessarily live paycheck to paycheck. If you want to be less stressed, make sure you're at a place where you're living at or below your means, so that you have some wiggle room, some margin with your money and time. And if emergencies come up, or you want to take a vacation, or whatever, like have budgets and have that mentality, just be smart about life so you can get the most out of life. But ultimately, that's the goal, is to live life. Like, my measure of success is how well am I living my life? And right now, it's been trying to, for the last 10 years, it's been trying to do that, like get a better quality of life and live my life.
We can get so busy trying to build a life that we forget to live.
Exactly. If we forget to live that one.
At one point in my career, my wife was taking her kids to birthday parties, to events with the school. And every event, someone would ask, "Where's your husband?" or "Where's Andy?" "He's working." And I realized I'm missing so much with my family. And that's the reason why I'm working, is to try to build a life with my family. But I'm missing all that they're doing. So now I set a time at 5 o'clock, I'm done. And if it doesn't get done that day, it can wait till tomorrow, because I want to work hard, provide a living for my family, but I want to be able to enjoy my family and spend time with them and know they're the reason why I work hard.
Yeah,
So just a couple
absolutely.
more questions, and then I'll let you enjoy your family. Do you have a hobby that helps you rejuvenate? You do so much, you're running a business, you have a family, you have the LCR media, and all the other things that you do for our industry. How do you balance all of that? And what do you do as a hobby to rejuvenate yourself?
Yeah, so balance is something that balance is something that I'm still working on. I think all of us have again, that's a moving target, right? Because things change in your life, and you have to rebalance it out, So I think that's something that's never like set in stone, and everyone is usually trying to find some sort of balance. I think some seasons in your life and some times are better than others, but I was really able to implement things early on in my business, like you were saying, 5 o'clock. Like there were some ground rules that I set early on so that I could rebound and rebuild my life. Like my time was 6 o'clock. Like I'm not going to start anything after 6 o'clock. Like we're at six, like if I'm like in the, if I'm working on something and it goes past six, that's one thing. But like if it's if it's like 5:55 and I finished my last thing up, I'm done. Like, I'm not gonna work. I'm not, oh, I'm not gonna start. I'm not gonna do anything past six. Like, that's my cutoff. But if I'm in the middle, finish something else up, I'm gonna finish that. If it's 6:15, then I'm done. Then I'm done. But so I started having some ground, setting ground rules like that. I started learning some frameworks that I was able, or discovering some frameworks, and then learning more about them and learning from other peers and mentors in my life and in our industry, that was helping me really put all of this together. And I was implementing specific things in my business, like route density, for example, that was really giving me more time. It was saving me time in my business so that I could have more time to live my life, with my family and friends. I actually have some training coming up that I'm going to be doing that for anyone that wants to sign up as well. Just showing you the framework, which is pretty easy to learn, but it's something that not everyone knows, or things that not everyone knows or don't really think about. And I just really want to serve others, like I said earlier in the episode, and help anyone that I can just kind of grasp the concept, achieve a new level of awareness, so that you can really start applying certain things to make your life better. So that's kind of a big thing there. I mean, it starts there. When you're working all the time, you're doing all these things, but there's a lot of ways that you can save time in your business and do things more efficiently, and so on, so that you increase your margin for your personal life. And then, as far as like, what do I do with hobbies or anything to kind of de-stress and relax and things like that? I like going to the gym. I like going mountain biking. Anything with my family. Like, sometimes we want to watch a movie together, or a show, or go out somewhere together. We go on a lot of different family trips together. And again, I have time for that because I save time in my business, and I'm able to redeposit that saved time, that extra time, instead of just filling that back up with more nonsense. I'm making sure that I'm utilizing the time in my business for what I need for my business, and not extra stuff. Like, I'm super, I mean, I'm not perfect. Of course, there's always tweaks, but I'm super efficient in the main components of my business, so that I'm not wasting time, so that I can do so many more things. Go pick up my son from college for the Thanksgiving weekend, or go on a college tour for both of my kids when they were both going through those. Go to all the school field trip. Like, the last 10 years, I've been on more field trips, taking more family vacations, more time off, than I did the whole 15 years in retail prior to that, because I just worked all the time and I was sick all the time. So I haven't been sick the 10 years. I haven't had a cold once. Like, I got COVID apparently, because the test said I got COVID, but I didn't feel like I had COVID. I just had a little sniffle, and my whole family was falling apart, so I had to take care of all of them. And so, like, I just feel like my immune system got stronger because I was outside. I was less stressed. I was doing things I enjoyed, and all of that just really helped boost me up. So literally, just mowing lawns, just running the majority aspects of my business, gives me energy, rejuvenates me, as crazy as that might seem. Like, I don't really have to, like, go out shooting, or do this or do that, or bad things like boozing or smoking or whatever that's not good for your health, to relieve stress or whatever. You know what I mean? I've definitely been there, done that, but I get a lot of energy and satisfaction out of creating content. I really enjoy it, and putting together events and hosting events and going to events. I get so much joy out of that. That is, quote unquote, like a hobby. That's how it started, right? And then it turned into much more. But I also enjoy lawn care. I enjoy mowing lawns. I enjoy, getting it, taking over a new property, coming up with a whole plan on how we can beautify that property and then maintain that property to look beautiful all the time. Like, I was that homeowner, and still am. Like, I enjoy doing that for myself. So now I get to live vicariously through, hundreds of other people, like, and just do this, just do that, rinse and repeat every day. It's like, I'm just always like feeling a sense of accomplishment every day doing that. So that gives me energy right then and there. So I think doing something you actually enjoy for a living is part of it right there. You don't necessarily need to escape. But I know we're busy. I know there's a lot of ups and downs, of course. Not all sunshine and rainbows, but it's a different type of stress. You have more control when you're the owner. There's going to be things out of your control, yes, but it's all on how you handle it, what your mindset is. We all have the same problems. We all have bad customers. We all have broken down equipment. on top of our family life and whatever other drama's going on. But it's like we all have that. It might not be exactly the same, but we all have a lot of these same energies coming at us. It's how we respond to that makes it different, right? The billionaire and the beggar both have the same 24 hours in a day. They just both do stuff differently every day. You know, like there's just so many different analogies that we could say. It's all about mindset. And I trust me, I have my days where I'm just like, man, everything is just not working out today. You know, it happens. And we just have to try and get out of that funk. Sometimes we just have to throw in the towel and just be like, all right, this is gonna be a pajama watch TV day or something, you know, like whatever. Or have a go-to thing, like back to your point, a go-to thing like I'm gonna go for a mountain bike ride. You know what? Like there's been times where I've done it over the last 10 years where I've been so stressed out because the spring rush usually gets everybody just so busy and so crazy and things start falling apart. Sometimes you think you got it all together and it starts falling apart. So I'll just like in the middle of the spring rush, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna start work late today, or we're gonna take the day off, you know, whatever however I had to work it out. And I would just go for a mountain bike ride and I would just zone out. And you know, I would be exhausted from the ride. And my mind would be clear. I'd be thinking about a lot of things while I'm riding and enjoying the ride and everything that's involved in that. If any, you know, you apply that to whatever your thing is, if it's working out, if it's running, if it's swimming, if it's sports, whatever it is, the shooting range, you know, whatever it is your thing is, think about that. It's the same thing. So yeah, sometimes that's your reset is to go do that fishing, you know, like I know a lot of people do that, like just to clear your mind and have that. But I don't often have to do that because I'm trying to I'm intentionally doing things that give me energy, things that I enjoy. You know, like you can't get everything bad out of your life. There, like I said, it's going to be uncontrollable things, but I'm not going to have a bad job. I'm not going to have a bad career. I'm not going to be forced to do stuff that I don't want to do. You know, I structured my lawn care business the way I want it. I don't do all these random services that people want me to do because I don't want to do them. They don't make me happy. They're not scalable for me. They're not things that I want to do. I want to focus on the things that I really love to do. I'm a turf manager. I love lawns. I'm that guy. So let's just go all in with that and be the best at that. Have all your profits and your pricing and everything dialed in, route density dialed in, and build a business that serves me, not me serve it. You know, we're not meant to serve our business. We're meant to serve each other. The business serves us so that we can continue serving each other. Otherwise, it takes away from all of that. So it's
Whatever it is,
a lot there for that answer.
whatever it is people enjoy doing, I think it's important at some point for people to slow down so they don't break down. You
Yeah.
know, rush, 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 we grind, we work, work, work. And eventually, if we don't slow down, something's going to happen that will make us slow down. So you
Yeah.
need a little bit of an escape. So
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
like to golf. I know Paul and I talked about his golfing, and I got one up on him because I've hit a hole in one, and he's never done that. So.
Nice. Yeah, to your point though, too, I forgot about this. I was just talking, I was just one of my inner circle calls, I was telling them we had this whole conversation because, again, everyone struggles with work-life balance. You know, your business is busy and everything, and everything that you said and I just said, and I had a whole I showed share with them a whole framework of nature. We should live our life according to nature. Nature, there's no hustle and grind in nature. Nature takes time off. There's ebbs and flows. You know, like that's how nature is. There's the growing season, then there's the dormant season, you know. So you got spring, summer, fall, winter, right? So like we should just follow nature and do the same thing. Like winter, nothing's growing for like anywhere where winter, you know, like wherever winter is in the world. Like obviously it's not winter right now in Australia, but their winter, you know, in our summer is just like ours. Nothing's growing, right? So like that's what winter is. Like nature has to rest and rebuild and drop their leaves and prepare for the new growth, and you know everything goes dormant and all these things. So we don't have as much to do as lawn care landscapers either. So take some time to restructure, rebuild, you know, and get your business and prepare your business for the spring rush, right? You know, you got spring growth. That's when you can invest in your business, and you know, then you got summer maintain, save the money that you're making over the summer, you know, and then you've got the fall growth. But instead of spending more money, save more money so you can save even more money, right? Because now you're making more money and you're saving money, unless you have to, replace something. That's one thing. But only invest in the spring, and then you can maintain and save over the summer. And then in the fall, you can also save more because you're making more. And then then you can get through the winter, because if you depending on what your strategy is, there's so many different variables there where you can, save money and have 12-month billing, all these things, so that you can get through the winter and prepare, rest and prepare like nature's doing for the next spring rush, right? So there's no hustle and grind in nature, so there should be no hustle and grind. Like, there's no 24/7 hustle and grind in nature, so that shouldn't be us either. Follow nature. There's ebbs and flow.
Well, that is good. That is so good. Well, I want to be mindful of your time. I know your family is wanting to spend time with you. I appreciate you coming on my show, and we'll do a follow-up and get you back on, and maybe we can talk about one of your specialties, route density, or how to build a successful business from nothing. And I started out from nothing. I after my throat cancer, when I recovered, I was sick for 3 years, never out of the hospital for longer than a week, because I would keep getting pneumonia, and the treatments would make me sick. But
Wow.
after all of that, I had to do something to provide for my family, and I started my lawn care business with a 2008 Chevy HHR and a push mower that wasn't self-propelled, it was me propelled. So I had to take the handles off every job just to get it in the car. And now we're through consistency, through hard work and dedication, we serve 140 clients in Newcastle, Indiana.
Wow.
And it just a lot of hard work, but hard work always pays off.
Yeah.
I really
Congratulations.
appreciate you being on my show. I appreciate your content, and appreciate all you do. You know, the morning show was excellent this year at Equip,
Thank
and
you.
that's because of you.
Thank you.
That event is something that Naylor put on, something that Naylor is responsible for. So for everyone, I want to say thank you.
Thank you, and you're welcome.
And
I look forward to it.
Tony Rudolph told me when I was on his podcast, he said, "When I make a friend, it's for life." So I feel
Tony's a
that
great
way
guy.
tonight. When I make a friend, it's for life. And
Bye.
I'm glad to call you a friend.
Thank you. Likewise. Appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
All right. Well, thank you for joining the Lawn Hustle. God bless you. And until our next episode, God is good. All the time. Thank you. All right, that stopped the recording on my P4 here, but I really appreciate you coming on the show. I really do.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. I'm glad we were able to work it out. I know you were feeling well the last time, or the first time originally they had scheduled. So yeah, whenever we can work it out, squeeze
Well,
it in.
I think the show went well. I think we had a lot of good things to say, and you had some excellent things to share with our listeners. And I think they'll find value in this podcast, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, I can't wait. Just tag me so that I know, or message me or whatever, and I'll share it, and obviously I'll listen to it as soon as it comes out. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I will probably be uploading this one next week. I interviewed John Pajak and Paul and Mike Andes. I need to upload those, but I'm doing this series of Meet the Pros, so I'm
Yeah.
trying to record as many as I can. I'm fixing to interview Eric Triplett, the Pond Digger.
Nice.
So yeah, that'll be a challenge.
Yeah. That'll be
Well,
a fun
I'll
time.
let you get to your family, and if I don't talk to you again before, have a happy Thanksgiving and a Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
New Year's blessed.
Thank you. You too.
All
Thank you very
right.
much.
Well, you have a good night, my friend.
You too.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.